Who owns the donut factory?
Well, this is really an interesting donut factory. What donut factory? I don't see a donut factory. We're on a stage and there's people watching. What are you talking about? A donut factory? Welcome to the DL Gaming Podcast. I'm Bobby.
Oh, shit. Yeah, I'm Christian. Yeah.
And I'm shocked that you don't know how this shit goes down, especially especially when you chose to be a caster today.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. I forgot the intro, and then I was like, should I pretend to be Nick? I don't know. Yeah, we're here.
Yeah, and then it happens, and it's just too late.
Yeah.
Yikes. Yep, here we are. Wow. All right. Well, happy Easter, everybody. We are recording this. Do they celebrate Easter in Canada?
No, absolutely not. That's some American bullshit. Get your Easter way. Jesus only risen south of the border. Nowhere else.
South of the border. See, that has different meaning for you.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. That's so funny. We actually have a restaurant called South of the Border. There's no way they could be in Canada because you would think it's like American food.
Exactly. Yeah.
The best I've ever heard it put was that Canada, not enough flavor. Mexico, way too much flavor. United States, it's just the right amount of flavor. Hmm. I think it's the mix of the two.
Just the right amount of Easter. Yes.
Yeah. Right. All right. Well, it is Easter Sunday, and we are here recording a podcast, but hopefully everyone out there had a good good Easter. Nick will be joining us in person next week, but he is not here today.
Yeah, and we're doing 3 episodes in a row, right? 3? Is it 3? Yeah.
Is it?
We're going to do movies on the DL. We're going to do a podcast, a DL Gaming Podcast, and then we're going to do our secret podcast.
Our Patreon-only podcast.
A Patreon-only, not safe for work podcast.
How you guys feel about that? The questions that are coming in, you go like, great. Work?
That's exactly what I was looking for. We'll tease a few of those at the end of this episode.
Okay. All right. Well, it's time for On the Radar. Let's talk about some games that have come to our attention this week. First one I'll start out with is Genesis Noir. This is a puzzle game, a point-and-click adventure game that is out right now. It's got a very interesting art style, and it is only $14.99. Not too bad. I'm a little on the fence about this. First of all, I love the art style. I love what the gameplay looks like. I'm a big fan of point-and-click adventures, but I do not like film noirs, or at least I don't appreciate them as much as a lot of people. So I don't know. Maybe it wouldn't be that great for me. But
really interesting look.
Yeah, very interesting look. It always amazes me how people can create these new aesthetics for their games. You feel like you've seen it all, right?
Yeah.
And you can't see anything new, and then somebody comes along and does something very unique and different.
Same thing happened in comics when I was really into comics. Just a new artist would come out and change the game. Not only would he would come out with a whole new look, but then there's the people that liked it so much, they're inspired by him, mm-hmm. and then they're just kind of like, it starts a movement almost. Jim Lee did that, you know, he took the X-Men, and everybody was like, what is this, you know? And then that's just kind of how comic books were until the next guy came.
Hmm. Yeah.
This looks really good. This is the developer's first game, it looks like, at least on Steam. But Fellow Traveler, the publisher, has released a lot of games this year that were really good, like Suzerain and Paradise Killer. All kind of the same point-and-click story, outside-the-box look. Kind of funky. So
are they all overwhelmingly positive?
The reviews on this game are only very positive, but it only has 160. I don't think you can get overwhelmingly positive until you reach a certain number.
Yeah. But the other ones, Sniper, that you were talking about? Let me see those.
I don't know if they're all very positive. Like, they're all well-received. Yeah, 94. I played the shit out of Suzerain. Super good game. Like, political drama. But point and click. And then this one, Paradise. This was like an indie darling, like a lot of media were talking about this. This got really good reviews too. Yeah. Overwhelmingly positive. Yeah. So the publisher, I feel like, can pick them.
Nice.
Yeah.
Very cool. Something to keep an eye on, although I do have to say I've got so many fancy-looking or cool-looking point-and-click adventure games on my to-do list already.
Yeah.
It's kind of a crowded list.
So I have, very quickly, I think everybody knows about this game, Horizon Zero Dawn. Came out on PC, I don't know, I feel like a few months ago. Anyway, it was 40% off, so I picked it up. The only thing I can do these days is like single player games. Story driven's fine. Right now, I'm going to be honest. I haven't even told you guys yet. I haven't stopped playing Borderlands 3 because I only get a solid 4 hours of gaming per week. Let's say, right, and it's like a 20 hour. I'm only doing the main campaign. Let's say it's only 20 hours. That takes like 4 or 5 weeks, you know? Mm-hmm. And so I'm at the very, very end of it. I'm just trying to push through it so that I could be ready for multiplayer anytime anybody wants to play. And it's also just kind of like I'm having a good time. And it's just a challenge. I'm like, I want to get back to where I was and stuff. So that's what I've been doing with most of my time. But I'm almost done with it. So this looks great. I remember Chad used to work for Sony when this came out. And he used to get everything for free. And so he was just kind of like jaded with all these games. He would just get every Sony game. Mm-hmm. And this one, he laid on the couch and beat it in 3 days. Like he just 24, like slept, ate, and Zero Dawn. And JP Diddy's a huge fan of it as well. And I like both those white boys. So I'm going to give this game a try.
Something there.
Yeah.
Ah, very cool. All right, Rome Total War Remastered.
All right. This game gets me wet, excited, like just super, super happy. This is the first Total War game I played when I was like really young. And I don't know, there's got to be like 600, 700 hours in this. And they're doing the remaster. They're being pretty faithful to the older game. They gave it to a bunch of YouTubers and people who were playing the shit out of old Total War games, and everyone's like, yeah, this shit is really awesome. They have the exact same music, the exact same maps. They just toned up the visuals, added some units, and fleshed out the UI, which is kind of all I would want with a remaster. I don't know about anyone else, but it feels exactly the same. And just watching the videos, they looks like they've nailed it. So what they're doing with this too is it's going to be 50% off if you own Rome Total War on Steam. So it's going to be like $15 launch day. So I'm buying it and I want to play multiplayer with people. So if anyone else is out there, then pick it up.
This is the one reason you want to come on and talk about this, on just reaching out there. See maybe if there's one other person that's going to pick this up on day one.
Yeah. Yeah. And then, yeah, one other person. I know you're out there. DM me on Discord. Something with this game and with a bunch of the games I've noticed that I really like. When you guys play a game, the music, how often do you pay attention to it? Is it like a focal point? Is it better if it's like in the background? Like, what do you like about music in games?
It definitely depends, man. Like, Binding of Isaac, I love the music. I've listened to that same music for like, you know, sometimes I turn it off. Because whatever, I'm watching a movie or whatever, but I'll always go back and just enjoy the music. It goes well with it so well. But multiplayer, you turn that shit off every time. You don't want any distractions when you're doing competition. It all depends.
Yeah. Yeah. So this and another game I'm going to talk about have like super awesome soundtracks that are like, they just send shivers down your spine, right? Because you're playing these grand strategy games. You got like your huge army, and then it's like Hollywood music comes in. You're zooming in on the battle, and it's awesome. So I'm gonna play this short 30-second clip, and you guys rate it out of 10 compared to like what you guys like. So.
Damn. All right. Do you have sharks for troops, dude? I felt like I was going to release my sharks, dude. My shark troops. Send the shark with freaking lasers on their heads. That was intense.
Yeah. Yeah, it is. And I don't know how good this game would be with no music. I don't know, pretty shit. It just adds the atmosphere. When you click on the UI stuff, scrolls unravel. It's like, you're like, ooh, yeah, I am really running the Roman Empire. yeah, I don't know. What do you think, Bobby?
I never played the first one. I played the second one, and that was the first Total War game I ever played. Mm. And I was going in expecting more of an RTS, so obviously I didn't really connect with it. Yeah. When did this one come out?
Oh, man. I'm just going to guess 2003, but I'll see here.
Okay. Long, long time ago. Yeah. Is this the first Total War game?
No. The first Total War game is Medieval 1.
Okay, so that goes way back.
Yeah, there was like 2D... I'll show some pictures of it. It's like 2D people running across the map, but like hundreds of thousands of them. So yeah, Rome Total War, the first one came out 2004. And then, the Medieval probably came out around 2000. So it's old. They started with historical titles. Then, of course, they moved to Fantasy and Warhammer, which has done gangbusters for them.
I remember the History Channel was doing recreations of real fighting using the Total War engine.
Yeah.
But I don't know what iteration of their engine it was.
Yeah, no, I've seen those. It was Medieval 2 Total War, that engine. And then they had a lot of them. I think Creative Assembly like licensed out it because they had units that you can get in the games on the Discovery Channel.
Oh, yeah.
But I remember watching them be like, what the hell? Is this for real?
Instead of tearing those two apart, like, here, just do. They should have tied that in. I think that would have went really well with the History Channel. They could have like done a History Channel DLC or whatever. You know what I mean? And get all.
Oh, yeah.
You know what I mean? They should have done a tie in.
Yeah, that would have been really, really good.
Replay famous battles.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, you can already kind of do that. I think like your units are a certain color of your faction, just for like gameplay, right? So you can recognize the guy on the map. But then on the History Channel, they wanted it more like realistic looking, like dressing how they used to dress. So I don't know, small things like that. There's like mods you can enable and disable if you want like super realism, but yeah.
See, I got into the Total War game so late that I don't really mind a lot of the modern stuff. The things that a lot of the original players get very upset about don't bother me.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Better.
Yeah, that's like some YouTuber I was watching got a copy of this. He's like, I didn't play the original Rome Total War, but this feels like super slow and clunky compared to Warhammer 2, which it would.
Of course it would.
This is for,
of course. This is
for like, yeah. It's for like fans. It's like pure nostalgia. Just go back and have a fun time. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
All right. Last game I want to bring up is called Biomutant. Now, this game looks a little too AAA for me, but it might be good. This is an RPG action adventure game with kind of a kung fu spin on it with anthropomorphic animals. You play this fox with a big old sword, and it looks very much like Kung Fu Panda to me. That's how I would describe it. These are not the types of games I play, but I do appreciate that Kung Fu Panda style.
Yeah, this looks awesome, dude. I've seen this several times on my feed, and I'm drawn to it every time. I think they nailed it with like that first what do you call that? The where it says Biomutant with that character. I think it draws me in. I've clicked on it several times. You know what I mean?
It's a very attractive looking game. It's coming out May 25th. I believe this is going to be full price title for probably $50 or $60.
Yeah. Oh, wow. Woohoo.
Yeah, 60.
Who's this by? Experiment 101. Who are they?
Ooh, I think they're a new company, but it's being published by THQ Nordic.
Yeah.
Yeah, so I don't know. This is one of those games I would have to wait and see the reviews and see if it's any good first. I'm glad I did that with Evil Genius 2 World Domination because the reviews are not hot. They're not terrible, but they're not great. So PC Gamer gave it a 75, Game Informer gave it a 7, and they both basically said the same thing. The missions get a little repetitive after a while. You're pretty much just babysitting, which tends to happen with a lot of those types of games, unfortunately.
Yeah. So you didn't pull the trigger on it, huh?
No.
Was it $60?
I think it was 40. I'm not sure what the price on that is. Yeah. Honestly, at this point, I would rather go back and play Evil Genius 1. Yeah, reviews are mixed on Steam.
That's so disappointing. I was really looking forward to this game.
Well, I looked at it and I'm like, yeah, it looks great, but I could totally see this going either way. And a lot of games are like that. They look good, but if you've been playing games long enough, you know how easy it is to be fooled by promotional material, by trailers, by screenshots, by, email newsletters.
What got me is that they released this game to, like, yeah, I try not to pay attention to trailers. What I look for is when the YouTubers get an early look at it, because most of them are going to be at least honest, or you'll be able to see. And I looked at a couple of gameplays, and the first, it's probably because they only played the first couple hours, and then PC Gamer played 10 hours and was like, no, it's not worth it. It just gets repetitive. That's probably what happened.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's unfortunate, man. I mean, it's not bad, but it's not 82. It's not an 82.
Yeah. There's tons of shitty management games, I don't think. If this one's just average, then probably...
That's unfortunate, man.
I wouldn't pick it
just
up.
Just the look alone is enough to float it by my $40 mark. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Speaking of $40 mark, I think... Is that what I just paid for Horizon Zero Dawn?
No, I think I got it.
No. It was 40% off.
Oh.
I got it for $30, I think.
Okay.
Yeah.
Huh. All right. Well, I guess it's time to talk about some games that we have been playing here. You want to start it off, Amelia, since you got quite a few?
I have one.
Oh, those are just long titles.
Those are just long titles, yeah. Very quickly, I guess, Totally Accurate Battlegrounds. Chi reviewed this game way back in the day. It's if you know the Totally Accurate franchise, it's I play Totally Accurate Battle Simulator. It's kind of like these Gumby people that don't have bones, and they do things. You make them do things, and this is their take on like PUBG, and it's all just super. They're going for comedy here, not for accuracy. I think Chi was complaining that the games weren't representative of accurate. There wasn't Counter-Strike, but she did have fun.
Wasn't competitive enough.
It wasn't competitive enough, and there wasn't enough rage quitters.
What is happening in this video?
Dude, it's crazy.
Well, it's a battle royale game,
and it's physics based.
Yeah, so it's just purposely ridiculous.
Yeah, absolutely. It's what they're going
this
for.
This game was not free to play at some point.
Correct. Yeah, I think it was $20 or something.
Oh wow, no!
But look at the reviews, dude. It's like in the 90 percentile, I think.
Yeah, But 80s. A game like this requires a player base, and when you charge for your game right away, that's going to really hurt your numbers.
Yeah.
Yeah, but look at the reviews: 38,376 reviews. I mean, clearly people did pick up the game at some point.
I think it came out during the height of battle royale games.
Yeah,
or 2018
midway through. Yeah,
yeah.
And anyway, it's going free to play now, and that could be good or bad sometimes. But I would think that for a game night, this would be fucking super fun.
Yes.
If we could get into the same server. I don't know how they're going
to. Yeah, because there's no team, so eventually we'd have to kill each other, wouldn't we?
Yeah, but if we could get into the same server, who cares?
Yeah. Well, what's the player base like? Let's scroll down there. Check out the numbers. So today's peak was about 6,000 people.
And more than Cyberpunk. Just going to put it out.
No, it's not. Cyberpunk had 12,000 when we looked.
Oh, did it? Yeah. I thought it was at 4,000.
We were all surprised when we saw it. We were like, hey, that's pretty good.
Yeah.
Okay. By the way, that 1.0 patch apparently is pretty good. Not 1.0.
1.2.
Is pretty good, but not like if you're waiting for it to be fixed, like what I'm doing. This isn't it, is what the final word is, what I heard.
This is not it.
This is not it. Yeah. So keep waiting for more fixes. And they're still working on it. So, and I already paid, I already dropped the $60. You know how much money I spent on Cyberpunk, dude? 60, 120, $180. Because I gifted it twice and I bought it for myself.
Wow.
Yeah.
And you haven't even played it yet.
I haven't even played it. Well, you know, I played
it. Dude, honestly, the bugs are not like, I don't know. I personally didn't run into any game-breaking bugs. But yeah. I didn't. I think I played maybe 15 hours of the game.
But it's like, I'm not going to get my money back, right? It's too late for that. And mm-hmm. so I might as well wait till the final product comes out.
Yeah. And
right?
I suppose. Yeah. I don't know. It, maybe late game that changes, but for me it seemed fun. All right, I played, boy, did I play a game this week. I played Jurassic World Evolution. So I mentioned last week that Ray gifted this to me out of nowhere, which is very cool. He had it, I guess, in Humble Bundle. I've been wanting to play this game for a long time, and glad I finally got to, and I dumped so many hours. I was on vacation last week, so I had the opportunity to play more than usual, but I still played more than I should have. Kind of cut into a time I should have been doing other things. Got really hooked on this game. It's a sim game. Everybody knows what it is. It's a simulation game where you build your own dinosaur theme park. And they take everything out of the movies. You know how when a movie comes out and they usually make a game to capitalize on it, like the Mad Max game or like the Wolverine game, you know, all those ones. This is kind of like what that is, but it's a simulation game. And they actually pull it off pretty well. So it is, they do kind of sand off some of the rough edges of a simulation game. It's hard to lose in this game. You can not make enough money, I guess, but usually you don't flat out lose. You just, things take a little bit longer. Mm. Interesting thing about this game, no speed button, no pause, no fast forward 2x the speed, 3x the speed, like most sim games. Very strange. But there's lots of like bonuses that you can research that increase like dinosaur incubation time. But I was so impressed. I talked on our other podcast, Movies on the DL, check it out, how I've been watching the Jurassic Park movies because of this game, like all of them. I just have Fallen Kingdom left to watch. And they really, in this game, they pull everything out of the movie. Everything is done to scale of that movie. The little goat coming up in the feeder straight out of the first Jurassic Park. The visitor center looks exactly like that one. Even the characters. They even had Jeff Goldblum come in and do some voice acting for this. I heard that and I was like, that is the best Jeff Goldblum accent or impression I've ever heard.
And then you looked into it?
Well, then after a while, I was like, this is too good. And so I had to look into it. And yeah, it was Jeff Goldblum.
I do got to say, Bobby, sim games, usually you're not there for the graphics. You're there for the numbers and making the numbers.
That's true. Happen, graphics aren't a big part.
But
aside from that, graphics are incredible.
Yeah, they look great.
Yeah, and every time you incubate a dinosaur and release it, by the way, you can modify the genetic code of the dinosaur and give them like a higher rating or get a lifespan or make them more aggressive, you know, all this crazy stuff. And, you know, different like skin, basically.
Bigger dicks?
I don't know. I think they're all female. Not sure. But when you release them, it has this whole cinematic thing of them coming out. First couple of times, yeah, it's cool. And then after a while, you're like, all right, who cares? You know, just put the dinosaur out there. It is very much like a simulation game with the edges sanded off to make it palatable for everybody, though. And after a while, like most sim games, unfortunately, it does get a little repetitive and boring. At a certain point, I found out, okay, my park is profitable, but it's just going really slow. So I'll just leave it running for a long time and let it build up some money. Then I'll come back and do some more construction.
And that worked.
Yeah, but then messages will pop up and say like, hey, here's a mission you can do. And then it'll pause everything. So it kind of screwed that up. I did have a great idea, though. So there's three things you've got to balance in Jurassic World Evolution. Entertainment, security, and science. And you can choose to go in either one of these directions, and you can use that to unlock different things like different types of dinosaurs or different types of technology you can research. It's a decent system, but basically you're balancing those three things. And your park can kind of cater towards more of one than the other. But I had a great idea. Dino Deathmatch. All right. Dino Deathmatch Park. Because if you put the dinosaurs, they all are very picky. Some of them like to have a lot of other dinosaurs around. They like to move in herds. Some of them do not like a lot of other dinosaurs around. So I started putting a lot of the carnivores in together and you know, maybe they weren't the best condition, so they weren't very happy, and I bred them very aggressively. And then I let some of the people inside just to shake things up too, you know, some of the visitors in.
And dude, you're sadistic.
Well,
dude.
No, I'm trying to create, it's entertainment. All right. These people bought a ticket. They knew what they were in for. You're Dino Deathmatch Island.
You're the guy who feeds his sim all the pizzas and puts him in a room with no bathroom, dude.
Well, no, I'm not sadistic here. I'm offering entertainment value. You want to see these giant dinosaurs duke it out.
Right.
And it was pretty entertaining, but the guest thing was a bad idea because apparently the surviving members are very litigious. You can rack up a lot of money in lawsuits when people die in your park, which I did not know about. So, yeah.
So, Bobby, so did you have a successful park? And that was it. And then you started this other Thunderdome.
So what they do is they start you off on an island. They then you can play that for a while. And once you get a 3-star rating, it unlocks another island. One of the islands they unlock, Isla Nublar, the one from the first Jurassic Park movie, that one you get unlimited money on. And it's basically like a sandbox. So I was like, okay, I can do whatever I want in this one. And yeah, so Dino Deathmatch Island closed. Closed for remodeling at this point right now.
Now, theoretically, if you haven't watched any of the Jurassic movies, would you want to watch them before or after playing this game? Like, are you going to enjoy the game not a lot if you haven't seen any of the movies?
No. You don't need to see any of the movies at all to enjoy this game. There is kind of a plot going through this game. So I'm on the second to last island right now. So I've kind of almost beat the campaign, but there is kind of this story going on. You can hear from your advisors saying like, oh, someone's trying to sabotage us or steal our research, or, you know, this thing got sabotaged. So you need to send a crew out there to repair it. So I think there's a bit of a story there to, that can be unlocked as you go through the campaign, but there's really not much of one. What is really cool is if you have seen the movies, like you just appreciate how accurate they got everything. It looks so accurate. And it's really interesting to see the dinosaurs interact too. So I figured out that there's two things. There's like herd size. So some dinosaurs prefer to be in larger or smaller herds, but that's dinosaurs of the same kind. Then there's population size. So I've finally figured out, okay, I can put multiple different kinds of dinosaurs in one containment area.
Saves a lot of money.
Mm-hmm. And as long as they're herbivores and none of the carnivores just start eating them, then it's usually okay. And then of course they break out and you have to build emergency shelters, and then you have like containment teams that come out and like tranquilize them, and you can upgrade those teams. You can actually drive
that. Sounds awesome, dude.
It's pretty cool. You can actually drive the helicopter and the ranger vehicles and shoot the darts too. Like you can.
They didn't have to do that.
Yeah. It's cool. I'm really impressed with a lot of the things in this game. It is very much a AAA simulation game. So you're not going to get the depth that you get in a lot of these other games. Maybe not even like Tropico level depth. It's very easy.
Yeah. Oh, really?
Yeah. But I am not.
But you're enjoying the process, though.
Bothered by it. I'm enjoying it, but there is some times where I'm just waiting. The game's got me on hold.
Let's say you're waiting. Yeah. Mm-hmm. You can't jump in a Jeep and just go.
You can. You can actually go jump in a Jeep and you can take pictures, and then you can sell the pictures for money, and you get more. The pictures are more valuable, the more dinosaurs that are in the picture.
That sounds even more awesome. You take a picture of your own park that you created.
It's like three games in one. It's like, yeah, Pokemon, dude. Snap, yeah. Tranquilize a dinosaur.
Then you can be and
like
Batman and figure out the crimes that happened at the park.
Yeah. It's, I'm surprised some of the things that they did. Like I was really, cause when the reviews came out on this, they were kind of middling, I guess. And I kind of understand where some people are coming from. But yeah, they're in like the low 70s range.
What'd you say? There's a bit of a caveat, you being such a massive Jurassic Park fan.
Yeah, I'm sure that plays into it as well. This inspired me to watch 5 Jurassic Park movies this week. So, I'm sure that had something to do
this
with it.
This is like me doing a review of Pornhub Evolution. You know what I mean?
I don't want to see that game. I will say this, though. This is probably the best Jurassic Park game I've ever played.
Good for you. I mean, that's awesome.
Yeah. I will think about it. Were there ever any good Jurassic Park games? That Telltale made one that was pretty terrible, man. As far as
was there at the arcade? Was there a shooter, a shoot 'em up?
Oh yeah, where you sat in the Jeep,
and shot dinosaurs.
Yeah, but that's just a quarter muncher.
That was just a quarter muncher, yeah.
Yeah. The Sega Genesis one was good. The Super Nintendo one, all right. But I'd say, other than this, the Sega Genesis was the best one.
Now taking this, how many of the theme park ones have you played, Bobby? The Sims, the simulations of theme parks. Have you done the Roller Coaster Tycoon?
No, I haven't played Roller Coaster. I haven't played Roller Coaster Tycoon. I've played theme park a lot, like the original theme park, the Bullfrog. Yeah. I think it was Bullfrog that made that game.
Will this inspire you to go maybe check out another theme park one?
Or do you have a suggestion?
No, because you know I'm looking at what he's clicking on. There's the Planet Zoo. There's
It's dude. I didn't buy this game because I bought Planet Zoo, and I love like sim games and stuff like that, but it's just too micromanagey. Planet Zoo, you were like placing individual rocks. You were like the logistics of how you fed the animals. You got to grow the food. You have to transport the food. I was just like, it's a game of micromanagement, and it wasn't fun for me. And I thought this game was going to be like that because it has the same developer. But you're telling me it's a little bit simple.
Nothing like that. This game, like you pick up on it pretty quick what you got to do. You got to send your research team out. They bring back fossils. You can use the fossils to uncover more of the genome for a dinosaur. The higher the genome you have, the more likely the chance that you are going to successfully incubate the dinosaur. Unless you put a bunch of like modifications on it, then it becomes less likely. So that's kind of cool too. When you're modifying a dinosaur and you incubate it and you're like crossing your fingers, like, okay, there's a 76% chance of this working, but if it does, this is going to be great. And especially when you're spending like $3 million on a fucking Brachiosaurus, you know, you really got those fingers crossed.
Okay. Well, this game is $12 on sale or $12 Canadian, right?
Totally worth it. 100% worth it. If you like sim games, it's totally worth it.
It seems like it's a must play. I love when they do that. I love when they do the first person perspective and you can walk around the sim that you've made, even though you only do it for like, 10 minutes?
It does it so well. The guests are walking around. You can't run them over, but they jump out of the way and get mad at you. Kind of like GTA, I guess. Mm-hmm. But when you are driving around in the Jeep, it looks just like, you know, Jurassic World. Like, oh, there's the visitor center. There's the dino bowling alley I built. Like, you feel like you are walking around in your park. It's incredible.
Dude, I don't wish that I could play this game because I know I could pretty easily, $10. I wish I was you playing this last week. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Knowing everything you know about Jurassic Park and liking it as much as you do, I wish I was you.
Yeah, they've got a ton of DLC too, so I guess that's a lot of cosmetic stuff or different dinosaurs that you could build or different dinosaur skins.
Well, they have the Return to Jurassic Park. Did you have some DLC?
No, I didn't. So I think that the Return to Jurassic Park looks really cool because that's got the raptor pen straight out of the first one. It's got the visitor center from the first Jurassic Park. It's also got the aviary in it too, and I don't think the aviary is in the main game. But I still haven't, I haven't unlocked everything in the original game.
How much is the, evolution?
$13 more expensive than the actual game.
Yeah. That's how they get you sometimes.
Yeah. They got, you know, you can buy a bundle.
How's the review on that?
It's very positive. I was just going to say, usually when these sim games have like little bullshit DLCs that are expensive, that are just visual upgrades, people downvote the hell out of them. They're like very negative, but this is very positive. So,
well, this doesn't look like just visual upgrades. Like that raptor pin, I don't think that is in
like original
game.
Yeah,
I think that's a whole new asset.
Yeah,
dude, that would make your Dinosaur Fight Club that much. You got to get it. You got to.
No, no, you can't see very well under the raptor pin. Okay. I don't think, I don't know. Again, I've got one more island to go and I haven't seen the big fish dinosaur from Jurassic World yet, but I figure that's got to be in there somewhere. Giant fish dinosaur. It is, because there's an achievement for it. So yeah, I have that to look forward to. Yeah, man, it's great, dude. Jurassic World Evolution. Like, I totally recommend this game.
Damn. But
Chris, can you do a little Pulsar so I can go make a drink and pee and stuff?
Wow, I'm really offended, but sure, I can do some Pulsar. All right, so The Pulsar Lost Colony Fridays. They're happening basically every second Friday because I seem to do something. I don't know. This last session was the first session that I felt like I'm having just as much fun as I would have had normally just doing like one-off sessions of Pulsar. Like, I feel like I'm finally in the rhythm. How are you feeling about it, Bobby?
I think it's going well. The last session, we got a lot done. We were very, we had a lot of combat, it seemed like, and we had a lot of ground missions.
Yeah.
So it kind of feels like we're actually getting into the gameplay. We fought a giant robot, which I've never done in this game.
Yeah, the giant robot head, the zappy zap.
Yep.
Yeah, and there was almost a moment where we didn't know what to do. Obviously, you aim for the big thing in the chest, but nearly. It took a while to figure out. So we broke into the world's most dangerous prison complex. You've done that before?
I haven't done that before, actually.
Okay, because that was super cool. I was like, okay, the pilot has to navigate through these space lasers in this cavern, and it's like Mission Impossible. They go back and forth. Okay, now we have to. There's this puzzle. What do we do when we're in this room? We have to be sneaky, or do we go guns blazing? We got to break this guy out of the cell. Wait, there's this other part of the cell. How do we get to it? We never found out. Spoiler alert. So, yeah, I mean, how big is this game? Like, how many unique things are there to do? I'm, like, really excited.
I feel like there's always things being added. So I've done a lot of things in this game, and I've only repeated a few missions twice. So it feels like it's pretty expansive. That actually reminds me of what else I played this week, Star Citizen. So I got into that, and I was able to play with people who actually knew what they were doing. So I got a bit of a tutorial there, and I realized how close Star Citizen and Pulsar Lost Colony are. I don't know that they're not that similar, but it is kind of like you can join up with your friends. You can all hop in a ship and you can shoot, you know, you can get into dogfights and shoot laser guns and go on bounty hunting missions and blow people up in space. It's obviously the graphics are very different, and
Pulsar's like a discount version of Star. It only costs like $500,000 to develop instead of $300 million or something.
Yeah, exactly. Although in some ways, like, I think Pulsar has a lot more things figured out with the missions and stuff. But I don't know. I'm still barely scratching the surface of Star Citizen.
Can you explain to me where Star Citizen is in its development journey? Like, is it done? Is it beta? Is no, like I don't know you're about playing that.
It seems to get updates released quite often, and some of these updates are pretty significant. They change the way the game is played, or they add new things. So, you know, it's not it's nowhere near finished, but it seems like it might be a long work in progress. But as it stands now, the game is totally playable. You can hop in, you can do whatever you want. You can get a ship, fly around, go on missions, make a bunch of money, buy more stuff.
Is this not meant to be an MMO? I mean, is it currently an MMO? Like, you're all supposed to share the same persistent universe and it's supposed to be endless. That was the first pitch I heard for the game. So,
Yeah, it is kind of like an MMO. So we went to this base where we had to kill like 7 guys or something. And I parked my ship outside and I was advised to leave it running because that way, we'll turn the engine off, but leave the ship on. That way the shields would block the shots if somebody tried to ambush us. Like if another player happened to come by, he could just see, oh, ships are parked down there. I'll blow them up.
Interesting.
How many other players is it one server and it's just everyone playing is on that server or does it like break it up?
No, I think you can get about 50 people on a server. That might change. I don't know. But the one we were on had about 50 people on it. Yeah.
Gotcha.
But I really, especially after spending more time in the game, I really understand why people spend so much money on it, I guess, because you really do feel ownership. I started, someone was nice enough to give me a bunch of money to get me started. So I bought a bunch of guns, ammunition, armor, and then started upgrading parts of my ship, which you can upgrade all sorts of parts of your ship. And depending on which ship you have, there's more parts to upgrade. You pick out a skin for it. You really do feel ownership over an item, and you drive that thing around. So like it is really like being
your baby.
Yeah, it's like being 17 and having a hot rod car, you know. Yeah. You name, really take pride in it. And I can see why people would spend money on that. Although you can just earn in-game currency and buy ships, apparently. But, of course, they can be pretty expensive.
Yeah, I would imagine.
Did you name it? It's your baby. You named it. You love it. You caress it. What's going on?
It does not have a name yet. What wow. is my ship? I have Atlas or a Titan something, which sounds like grander than it really is. But it's a pretty good ship.
It's the Jurassic Mark III. Bobby, if you were...
The Titan Avenger, that's what it is.
This is probably pretty tough. I'm going to put you in a corner here. If you were just going to give it a 1 out of 100 rating right now, just as is what you've experienced.
What, Star Citizen?
Yeah, Star Citizen.
I got to give it an 82, man. I mean, it is it's coward. So hard because it's like someone playing...
Coward Eagles.
It's like someone playing 5 to 10 hours of Warcraft, World of Warcraft, and giving that a rating. This game is incredibly expansive, although the mission where we had to go and land on this like space station and then shoot, like kill 7 people. Honestly, the most exciting part of that mission was landing my ship. Huh. The killing the people was really just like run in. There's 7 people in here. You shoot them. They're dead. Like it,
yeah.
There really was nothing to it. I feel like they could make that, the little details in the mission a little bit better. To be honest, that's the same thing with Pulsar Lost Colony. It's like, hey, I need an egg. You run over there, you grab the egg, you bring it right back. Boom. Mission done.
Arguably, the mission you just did was probably one of the first ones written, I'm guessing.
Yeah, I mean, who knows?
Who knows?
And there's so many missions, too. I mean, there's mercenary missions. You can be a bounty hunter. You can haul stuff. You can mine stuff, too, which, I don't know, given my history with Deep Rock Galactic, might be more my thing.
Christian, Yodalicious says he flies a Drake Cutlass Black, which sounds fucking beautiful. Can you bring one of those up? That sounds like, awesome.
I don't get why. Okay. Hot take. Never played the game. Don't know anything. Why are you playing? Why are people playing it and so into it if the MMO part of the game isn't developed? Like, if you were a mining ship, wouldn't you be mining to contribute to the player economy so you can make money so you can get ahead?
That is kind of missing. And a disclaimer that I keep bringing up, I've only played like 10 hours of this game. So I haven't seen everything, but it doesn't have the same feel as a lot of MMOs where you walk around and you feel like you are a small member of a big community. Like in World of Warcraft, when you just see people out everywhere, oh, there's a guy doing a quest. I go into Ironforge. There's just a ton of people. Some are doing business. Some are over there dueling, or this person's at the bank. It doesn't feel like a lived-in world. Now, when you land on some of the stations like Lorville or New Babbage, like, yeah, you see a lot of other people walking around and there's like an all chat up. So there's a little bit more of that, but yeah, it is kind of missing that expansive MMO feel to it for me, yeah. I guess.
Right. So when you're playing it now, once they do make it that expansive MMO, I assume your progress carries over kind of thing to when they have their full launch. That's why people are playing. I'm just trying to understand, like, why would you want to progress so far in the game if it's not really released yet? I don't know. Does that make sense?
There's no XP in the game. It's not like you're leveling a character up. You're just making money.
You're making money and you're gathering assets. You're upgrading your ship and stuff. Mm-hmm. I mean, that's experienced by any other name, just without the bar, I would say. But
I think all this, I'm guessing, all that stuff that you buy and acquire right now.
Well, it's not going to disappear.
Yeah, you're going to have it.
Yeah. I mean, you're paying money for this. They're not going to make it go away. But it is like space, you know. It would be kind of weird if you were flying around in the void of space and just running into lots and lots of people. So I don't know, there is innately a type of loneliness to the game because you are voyaging
in space. Nobody can hear you say hello.
Yeah.
I would love an Expanse MMO, and I think this is the closest that I'm ever gonna get to it. But
fuck yeah.
The key part is like the MMO part. Like, I want to, I guess what I want in a space MMO is, like, I want my actions to have repercussions for other people and kind of more, you can, whatever.
Yeah, and I haven't experienced that yet. I don't know if that's a part of the game that exists and I just haven't found it yet, but it doesn't feel like you are interacting much with other players unless you join as a group and you're like, someone's flying a ship and the other people are the gunners on it. You have that, or you can go do a mission together. But other than that, it doesn't feel like you're trading or doing business with other people. Or
the last article I read about this is, you know, once you start getting to the frigate size, you need like 12 people to run those. And the ships are viable and you could own them, but you can't fly them yet because the mechanics of 12 people flying a ship haven't been worked out.
Well, it would be nice, and maybe this already exists. It would be nice if there was higher level missions that necessitate a dozen people working together on one ship to accomplish. That would be really cool. Mm-hmm. But everything I've experienced so far, like working together on a ship, has just been go blow up those guys. Just shoot them down.
So you have had space, because last time you said I don't think you've done space combat, but now you've how was the space combat?
I haven't done space combat while I'm flying yet. So my Titan Avenger, I can fly it and shoot my guns on it, and I've got missiles that I haven't figured out how to work yet. I figured out how to fly the thing. I'm comfortable doing that now, so I'm making some progress. But when I was doing the space combat, I was in a gunner seat with somebody else flying. And it's pretty good. There's parts of it I haven't experienced with the missiles, but it's kind of a little arcadey, like Star Wars Battlefront 2, kind of just, you have to lead your shots a little bit, but basically you're just trying to shoot down planes and, you know, they may have shots. It's not quite the same as, you know, one of the first things I asked because of Pulsar Lost Colony, can you board one of the other ships? And you can't do that yet, but that is something that they have talked about doing in the future. Because one thing I love about Pulsar, you have several different kinds of guns. You know, you can charge your laser, it shoots, whatever. But basically, you're just like shooting down ships. But you can also knock their shields down, then do the whole boarding party thing, then claim the ship, and then try to like scrap material from it without blowing it up.
You would just want to be a space pirate, Bobby.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Yodelicious does remind us here that it is still technically an alpha. So,
and probably will be until we die.
Yeah.
I mean, this game is just, you shouldn't go into it expecting like a packaged game, like most developers or publishers will try to sell you. It's an experience.
I don't want to hear that about the combat though, dude. Like you said, it's arcadey, like Pulsar, it's fine, but the combat is arcadey? Like, dude, that doesn't sound...
Look, think about WoW's combat, dude. It's terrible, if you really think about it. It's arcadey to the, you know, it's... Yeah. There's nothing to
it. Yeah, honestly, the space combat...
It's a simulation of combat. It's not...
Yeah, but you know what? We were also in a very powerful ship, and I think we kind of had our training wheels on, so the person piloting it was going to very easy missions, so it's just kind of like, pew, 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 pew. You know, and mission over. So I haven't really had a chance to be on my own and have like a long engagement with ships where there's a little more stakes and a little more fair of a fight. So
hey guys, we just got to the Hearts and Candy Galaxy. Don't worry, there's some real baddies out there. Keep an eye out for them. Go ahead and shoot them down if you see them. They pop by like balloons, but trust me, they're fierce.
But it is a deeply involved game with all sorts of equipment that you can load onto your ship to change the way that it flies and shoots and what kind of missiles you have. And some are better than others. So, you know, you can make your ship have a higher stealth rating so you can get closer without being detected and then just unload with missiles, which I guess would be better for bounty hunting. Yeah, there's a lot to this game, and I'm just slowly scraping at the surface.
I'm going to guess to shoot your missiles is going to be backslash, Bobby. It eluded me for years on Skyrim. So I think that's probably what you're missing out.
Yeah, maybe. Yeah, I got to figure out how to shoot missiles.
Christian, I need you to have a hot mic like every episode now. I just need somebody to laugh at my jokes, dude.
Yeah, dude, it's the laugh track. Yeah.
It's been years, dude.
You try telling a joke to these people, to Nick and Bobby. They just kind of sit there like, I don't know, like corpse people.
Nick has been hearing those jokes all his life, and I've been hearing them for about 10 years. So,
that's true.
All right. So you've been playing Binding of Isaac Repentance.
I have, man.
It came out.
And it's the bee's knees, in my opinion.
Wow.
I've only put in 3 hours or so. Most of that was actually, it actually happened. The thing that I said that it was impossible, Sam and I played in the garage together because we had to make it happen, you know. Mm-hmm. She was way into it, too. And I am happy to say that for sure the co-op is so much better than it originally was. Mm. You heard Nick and I talking about it. Before, you would have the main player and you would have this like ghost baby, which is still in the game if you want it to be. You could play that way if you want. Or you could have two full-on characters playing at the same time. What's great about that is there's only the same amount of resources, so a lot of strategy goes into it. Sam and I were constantly strategizing throughout. And the other great thing is, you know, you're playing this game and you need to memorize all the fucking items and it goes on and on, but you're doing a build. It's funny to say that like you're making a build mm-hmm. when everything is random and there's only a few items per level, right? But you know at a certain point, this item's going to fuck my build up. I don't want it. So you just leave it. That happens a lot in Binding of Isaac. Or it's not working with what I'm trying to synergize. Mm-hmm. And having two characters opens up so many more branches for the build you're trying to make. And that
because you can build synergy between the two characters.
Yeah, well, that too.
Or one person can go their own build.
Exactly. You have two branches going off in two different directions. And so a lot less items go to waste because you're playing two different kind of characters.
But in the other game, the secondary character was kind of ancillary, right? Like they didn't do too much. It was really just like a companion.
Yeah, pretty much. And that's why it wasn't so much fun.
Okay.
What was cool about the babies, it's funny because they're both called, some of them are babies and the other one. What I'm talking about is the old style of co-op, which is still in the game if you want it to be. What's cool about them is there's like 100 of them. Of these little characters that help you out, these little companions. And some of them had special abilities. And if you got them in your RNG, it was cool that you got the one that shoots black tears because that scares guys. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Like so, there was a little bit of RNG fun to them. But now you're actually co-oping. You're both the same power. And then you have to talk about what item's going to go to which person. The other thing I want to talk about is the look of the game. I mean, it basically took everything that I liked about it and just made new and better versions of everything. There's the sewer level that we're looking at here. There's a lava level with mine carts. It doesn't sound like much when I'm talking about it because it's just a wet level. And it's just a water level. But I've spent 1,000 hours in these rooms, and then when they're done differently, and it's not off-putting, that's saying a lot, and I'm enjoying it. Not just that, but a lot of the items have been completely reworked, and this is only coming in at 75% positive right now, and the top comment on the reviews pretty much nails it. He said 99% of the negative reviews is people bitching about the difficulty because it's really hard. But that's just because everything's been reworked and you have to learn the game all over. And that's kind of what I want out of a DLC. Mm-hmm. I don't want the same old shit. I don't want the same synergies to work. You know, I've talked to it like Flying Hawaiian was a guy who just wanted to get the same synergy every time and wouldn't play the game unless he got those 3 or 4 items. And that's just how he played it. And he put just as much time as I did. But he would just reset until he got what he want. And I see that there is that way of playing. But Sam and I, I told Sam, probably at our second hour of playing this, I was like, oh, we basically just have to forget everything that we knew. Because these items don't act the way that they used to act. These bad guys are definitely not like they're acting the way they used to act. And it's like a whole new game with the same rules, I guess.
Yeah.
And so it's probably better than what I thought it was going to be, because I thought I was just going to get more of the same. But what I got was different, but same enough to be called the same game.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean?
Yeah, that's cool. It's kind of like you get to re-experience the game.
Absolutely. Because I haven't seen... There's two paths. There's two clear paths you can go now. At the end of every level, there's two exits. One is the crazy new shit, and the other one is the old regular shit. And the branching paths used to be really hidden, and now they're just kind of out in the open. You're like, there it is. I don't know really what that means. All the mystery. I'm starting to think about the game again. I'm like, what does that mean? What if I take all the branching paths, all the harder ones? That's got to unlock something. So, yeah, wow. Man, I'm fucking digging it.
So, is this a local co-op only, or can you play online with someone?
Well, you Ed McMillan, he talks about it specifically that, you know, we didn't put online co-op specifically because we knew that play together works.
Oh, okay.
Steam play together. And so, like, why would you spend the money if Steam's already doing the hard, So, I believe they were leading, this game was leading the concurrent players on Steam for all games when it came out at like 60,000 or something. So, a lot of people.
I mean, it still would be nice. An argument for still including multiplayer in your game is that you can play with strangers, so you can have a lobby and you can find people who are looking for someone to play with.
For sure.
That would be nice. I don't know. God, you know what's crazy? I played a little bit of Binding of Isaac, but really not that much, man, because you've talked about it so much that I always felt like I never really needed to play it. But every time you bring it up, I always think, man, I should play that game again, because it really is. The first one is the only one I've played, but it really is a solid game. Christian, have you ever even played this game?
No, the first time I heard about it was when I started listening to the podcast, whenever that was. And I never really played a roguelike. My first roguelike was synthetic, so not really a genre I'm too deep into.
Did you like synthetic?
Yeah, I loved it. I picked up FTL right after, and I'm playing the shit out of that, so... That's, I mean, the roguelike is awesome. I don't know, something about the art and the graphics for this game, maybe it's just not my style. It never really made me want to, click to find out more. I don't know.
It is so hard, guys.
So this is a DLC. This is not
correct.
Its own game. Interesting. Yep.
It's a DLC for Rebirth.
God, it's confusing. So confusing how they do that. I really wish they would simplify all that. Maybe just like even make a new version of the game.
So there was Binding of Isaac.
Mm-hmm.
Rebirth was the sequel.
So Rebirth is its own game.
Yes. Then Afterbirth was a DLC for Rebirth. And then Repentance is the second
DLC
for
Rebirth.
Okay. Yeah.
How long was this in production for? I'm just seeing its historic low was in 2017. That must have been like a pre-purchase thing. Seems like...
Well, that's for Rebirth, probably.
Bundle.
Yeah.
Okay.
For the
bundle. I see.
Yeah.
Gotcha.
Cool.
Yeah, sweet. Man. All right. Have you guys seen Battlestar Galactica?
A little bit.
Yes.
No? You're talking about the new one or the old one?
Wow. I didn't even know there was an old one. I guess the new one.
Okay.
Wow.
I have seen a little bit.
Really?
So that TV show starts with a movie, like a two-hour movie that you got to watch, and then the TV show begins.
Originally, that's how it was planned out?
Mm-hmm.
Was that movie straight to TV?
It seems like it is. It has
was
like
it an HBO show? I think it was like HBO or on one of those channels that did a lot of that type of stuff. But it was one of those early shows where just, you know, everything is turned into it now. But one of those shows where it ends and you're just like, oh, I got to watch the next one. They leave that hook at the end, so you have to immediately start the next episode. It was one of those first
otherwise
shows.
Otherwise known as good TV, Bobby.
Not necessarily, dude. You just have an hour of whatever and then just put a hook at the end. Like somebody dies and like, who died? Okay, now
yes, the hook's got to be good enough to get the fish.
It wasn't in my case because I watched the first movie and then maybe like a couple of episodes. And my girlfriend was really into it. Loved that show.
The more you talk about her, the cooler she seems than you.
Yeah.
I don't know about that.
All right. So I still know clearly nothing about Battlestar Galactica, but Warconius bought me this game. When it was on sale, and it's a tactics game. I don't really play these games too much, like XCOM, stuff like that, except it's in space and it's turn-based, and the music is awesome. And then I'm presented with this story, you know, there's this Cylon rebellion. I'm like, who are the Cylons? The only thing I know about Battlestar Galactica is that lady in the red dress. That's pretty much the only thing I've seen. So I'm going to this with a blind eye. And, you know, a couple weeks later, I've downloaded 58 gigs of Battlestar Galactica, and I'm making my way through all the seasons, all the movies, all the miniseries, and I'm a huge fan. And
are you doing this with your lady? Is she along for the ride?
She's along for the ride, but not as gung-ho as I. She's like, okay, I can't watch it before work because it's too stressful, and my work is stressful, so there's only a couple days a week we can get it in. But this game is about the Cylon Rebellion. And I assume, because the TV show is what happens after, or the TV show I'm watching is what happens after. So there's probably an old TV show that is about this game? Or how does that work?
Well, Battlestar Galactica, wasn't that originally in the 70s or something? Yeah, early 80s? And the Cylons looked very different then. And yeah, it was much cheaper production. But around the mid-2000s, early 2000s, when the new one came out, that's when people really got excited about this.
I would say, you know, if you put in for inflation, I would say that the 70s was probably more expensive than the current one. But I'm just saying.
Yeah, maybe.
Yeah, it's hard to do space shit.
Yeah, I think the Cylons, they're robots that pretend to be humans.
I know, man. I'm not saying that it's not good. I've heard from... What?
Wait, you guys know less about it than me?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Let's get Bobby's girlfriend on the line. And here she is. Door number two.
Because like that's the whole question about the like the Cylons, they're robots, but they're human, basically, you know. Mm-hmm. I mean it's a story that's been told
before. Thing going on. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. Anyways, super fun game. Can recommend. Never played a turn-based tactical space game before.
Yeah, I've never played one in space. There's that one that Nick's always talking about.
Battlefleet Gothic Armada 2 or something.
Yeah.
Warhammer had to come in at some point.
Yeah, Warhammer. The ghost of Nick haunts this podcast and every podcast for Warhammer.
I think, can we change his name to Bald Nick?
Bald Nick? Yeah. If you want.
Have you seen his new hairdo?
You want to say Bald Nick every time or what?
Yeah, I think so.
Okay. It's kind of derogatory, but it's fine. Yeah, this is how I want every space game to be. Like, I hate the space game. All your ships go in, they blast each other to shreds, boom, it's over. This is all about positioning, all about like deploying countermeasures, what weapon types you outfit your ships with, what squadrons you launch and when, you can hide behind asteroids and stuff. Like, it's just so satisfying to play. And it got me into Battlestar Galactica, so I recommend. Can recommend.
Hmm. Awesome, man.
All right. For the low, low price of, what is that, $40 American?
Oh, yeah. Caveat, when Warconius bought this for me, it was like $15. So maybe you want to wait for that.
Wait for that sale.
And guys, when it sounds like we're doing super quick calculations, conversions from Canadian to American, basically we're just rounding down to the nearest 10, and it's almost always right.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah, it's pretty much right.
But this game, someone's saying it's on Game Pass.
Oh, there you go.
I don't know, we got to be careful with that because we've been saying that about a lot of games. And
oh, yeah, we were wrong about Outriders. It is on Game Pass, but it's on, only on the Xbox version, not the PC version.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, that's what happened on that one.
But I didn't know there was a difference between those. That's crazy.
Ooh, okay. You know what? We just caused the DL Gaming dip because I feel like a lot of people didn't buy it because of my promise that it was going to be on Game Pass. I'm sorry for those folks. I'm sorry to whoever makes Outriders. I'm sure they'll be fine. Really quickly, I'm just going to mention it. Did you guys see this Final Fantasy Kingsglaive on Netflix?
No.
Sounds familiar.
I'm gonna when I'm done watching it, I'm going to talk about it a little more. But it kind of takes those Final Fantasy graphics like from the cutscenes. Mm-hmm. And made a whole movie out of it.
Oh, okay. Yeah. I haven't seen this, but when I watched the first Final Fantasy movie from like 2000 or 2001,
yeah.
I saw this one was on there as well. Because I remember the second one, the one from like 07 or something.
But this is new. This just
this is 2015.
Oh, never mind. It's new to Netflix. Then.
Okay. What it was. Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, it's like a two-hour cutscene.
I don't know anything. Final Fantasy, is it too late to get into? Worth getting into?
There is the only no thing getting I know... into it, dude, because every iteration is different. Mm-hmm. It's a whole new story on a whole new planet. There's only just a few through lines that doesn't even matter.
You know what I mean? When I was 13, I found Tifa porn on my friend's desktop, and that's almost the only thing I know about it. I also saw a movie with Sephiroth in it, but I'm not sure. He was like gathering crystals or something.
Yeah.
I don't know.
That's... Yeah, they're always gathering crystals.
I saw a list of the sexiest video game characters. Tifa, I think, was number one. I think so. Yep.
I mean, it was. I watched the video. It was good, I guess. It was something titled like, it was like Tifa gives the best blowjob ever. No, and when I brought it up to my friend, I was like,
.mpg. Oh,
no, what you want is Tifa meets Resident Evil zombies, dude. That's the best one.
Oh, my dude. God.
I'm just making shit up here, folks. Why exists?
I'm like regularly quite disgusted by what you say. Okay. I have one thing. Do you want to hear about me streaming or do you want to hear about Myst where I pose you a query?
Neither. I got to go pee. So whatever you pick.
Okay. Yeah, Bobby, pick.
Let's go with streaming. Why don't you promote your stream?
What? Why'd you just assume I was going to promote my stream?
Is that not what you're going to do?
Now I'm going to circumnavigate your expectations that of what you were going to do, what is what I was going to do, and I'm not going to do it anymore because you said I was going to do it. I did a stream, and I asked everyone to provide me photos of them, and then I Photoshopped them into iconic monuments. Now, Bobby, you didn't provide a photo to me, but I'll find one. Don't worry. I'm doing this to work on my Photoshop skills, and really streaming has become just a way for me to talk to all my friends who live in cities and stuff. They tune in for some stupid reason. They watch me do this shit. And we have a lot of fun. I usually have like all 10 of them watching. So there's no hook to this story. It's not a promotion, definitely not a promotion of my stream. But if you want to be Photoshopped into something, quite a few people from our Discord threw a photo in there, and I'm going to be Photoshopping everyone. So throw a photo of you and your favorite monument. I think I'm going to put Mobius on a tomato. He's going to be the tomato in a ham, bacon, and tomato sandwich. And Daze is going to be the Juliet statue in Florence that you touch the boob for good luck. So you too could be a monument.
Wow. Okay.
Not a promotion.
Not a promotion. Not a promotion. All right.
And last episode, you guys, you forgot to, what about these people who gifted us their, they gave us subs, they gave us their hard earned money and you didn't say anything. Look, why'd you do that?
We have been missing our shout outs to our lovely subscribers here. So Nick gifted a sub. I think we already covered that.
Nick watching?
No, this is from last time.
Oh, gotcha.
But Bill Brasky Jr. subbed, like the name there, classic SNL. Epic tryhard face, 19 months. Pretty good, man. Pretty good.
Pretty good.
Oh, one more coming in. Coffee Germ, second month.
Wow, you know, he really wanted that shout out. Nice.
You know, it's like, oh, we're doing shout outs now. Okay.
You know, Epic tryhard face came. Oh, sorry. I confused my really hard, long-named friends. Who came in? It was kind of a big deal. He came in with a different screen name onto Discord with his with his mic working for the first time in probably 4 years. And he was like passing himself off as somebody else. And I was like, are you kind of a big deal? He's like, ah, guilty as charged, man. I knew him just from his voice. Very iconic voice. Anyway, I'm talking to one person here. Let's move on.
All right. Well, I believe it is time for listener questions. We've got a few here. First one comes from The Livingston. What's the worst interaction you've had with an internet celebrity in real life?
Well, she was on our podcast for about 4 years. Bang, 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 bang.
Oh,
bang.
My God. Oh, my God.
That's hilarious.
That's fucking rude, dude. That's so rude.
It's really fun.
Yeah.
I've never met an internet celebrity. I don't think I've ever even met a real celebrity.
What? Not one? Not even in passing?
I've got like a baseball signed by Tony Gwynn.
And how was it? What happened?
No, not signed by him. He has a ball that was once signed by him.
No, I did go to a signing.
Oh,
yeah,
oh,
it was one of a card show. So you like go there and like, there you go, sign it. Yeah. Like he's signing like hundreds of these things. So it wasn't like a meet and greet or anything. But yeah, dude, I just have not run into celebrities. I don't know if there's any celebrity, internet celebrity or otherwise, that I'd run into that I would really be that starstruck. Honestly, I think for the most part, I wouldn't even say or bother them because I figure they get that all the time. And like, what am I going to say? Just like, hey, you're that guy.
Bobby, there's not a whole lot of boats that I'm in the same boat with as you, but I'm 100% there. I was there at Joe Rogan's show. He had a little line outside. You go up and you talk and shake his hand. I didn't participate. He was literally like a few feet away from me. Who's the other one? There's another much more famous person that I came in close contact with, but I'm very much of the, he gets this all the time. Why would I bother him? That's where on the fence that I'm on.
Yeah. And I don't know. It maybe because I'm not super active on social media. Like I don't snap a lot of pictures. So I don't know. Asking for a picture, I wouldn't think to do that. Yeah. I don't know. Sniper, who have you met?
Oh my God, dude. You guys know this guy, Kevin O'Leary, famous Canadian?
Yeah, I know the name.
Shark Tank guy?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, okay. So I'm walking downtown. Edmonton,
I'm walking,
minus 40.
Right? I'm pitching companies to this random stranger. Then Kevin O'Leary's right there.
Yeah. No, that'd be a cool story. But apparently I'm not as cool as you guys. If I meet people who I see on TV, apparently I just forget how to do everything. Forget how to talk, forget how to walk, forget how to, you know, common social decorum just goes right out the window. So Kevin O'Leary, it's minus 40 outside, and downtown Edmonton connected with all these tunnels and stuff so people can get around and not have to die. I'm walking from one skyscraper to another, and Kevin O'Leary is coming behind me, and he's going fast, and he's got like a friend with him, and
it's called the bodyguard.
This is probably a bodyguard, but this opposite person is coming across, and he's like, hey, you're Kevin O'Leary, right? And he's like, yeah. He's like, okay, mind if I shake your hand? And he's like, yeah, sure. So he takes off his winter glove, he rolls up his winter tunic, and he shakes this guy's hand. And I was inspired, and I forgot how to do anything. So I come up to him and I say, Kevin O'Leary, you are a Canadian hero. Can I shake your hand? And he's like, yeah. So he's put his glove back on and his tunic down by this time. So he takes his glove off. He pulls his tunic up and he shakes my hand. Now, I don't want to pull any punches here, but Kevin O'Leary is actually a piece of shit. And I've always known this.
He comes off
rude
in the show.
He's rude. on purpose. I think that's just a thing. But like in his personal life, he's done a lot of terrible things. Like his family was boating in Ontario, and he ran into another boat while he was drunk and he killed the person. But he just settled it out of court because that's what you can do when you're rich. So I like I've known this.
I mean, that doesn't sound terrible. He could have just said, I'm sorry, and they were settled.
No, if you don't settle it out of court, he would have gone to jail.
Yeah.
Yeah. You can't just say, I'm sorry. And but, well, maybe because you're Canadian. Is that a joke? Are you making a joke?
I was trying.
Okay. Yeah. Good job. But I've always known he's, kind of shady and a rich person. But I called him a Canadian hero. And then I asked to shake his hand. And then after I was standing there like, what have I done? And why did I do it? So
Kanis is a better person than you. He says he met him on a flight to Toronto. He didn't say anything because I know he sucks. He didn't lose his faculties, dude. He did not shit his Canadian pants.
I didn't know this guy was Canadian. I didn't even know his name was Kevin O'Leary. Like if I would have seen him walking down the street, I'd be like, is that the Shark Tank guy? And it's kind of weird that this is your big celebrity, dude. This is like that movie Stepbrothers. Is like you run into Randy Jackson, you're not going to not get his autograph.
You went to a signing, dude. He's got you beat aces over Spain.
Going to a signing is not like a big thing, dude. Like that's if you're going to get an autograph. Saying. Yeah. Shaking no, I never claimed it. I never claimed to like meet any big celebrities.
But okay, what bothered me about your story, Bobby, was you said I'm not the type of person to X. But what if celebrity is just jumps in, like, okay, we're sharing an elevator ride with fucking I don't know David Blaine. I don't know who do you look David up to? Blaine.
Wow,
also
dude.
A celebrity. Is he not a celebrity?
Yeah, sure. Like 25 years ago.
I don't know. What? He just did that thing. He had the balloon.
Oh, yeah. He did that thing with the balloons. That was inspirational. Yeah, I don't know. There's some people that I might.
Roger?
Seth MacFarlane?
Yeah. What if you ran into that guy in the elevator? What are you doing? You're just not talking to him. You're like, oh, he gets this all the time. Not going to say anything.
I mean, if I'm in an elevator, if I could think of a reason to talk to him.
Suck his dick.
I don't know. I mean, if it was something like that, I might be like, oh, hey, it's you. Big fan, you know, and like that'd be it. But I don't know, man. Like, I don't know. It's not only that I wouldn't want to inconvenience them. It's just like I literally don't know what I would say.
There's nothing original. There's nothing you're going to do that's going to be like, you're my new best friend. There's nothing. Mm-hmm. So why, I guess, but it's good for have a story, I guess.
I wouldn't want to on purpose, but I actually kind of feel bad about like asking to shake his hand. I feel like that's crossing like weird social boundaries. Like random person comes up to me and shakes my hand. There's no way I'm shake. Like, no, but
dude, did the mast, no, not the mast. What's that piece of wood that comes out of the front of this, the ship?
The stern? I don't know.
I'm okay. Just wondering if that impaled the guy. Like did he stab him with his boat?
He like ran through him with his rich person jet boat, dude. He died instantly.
You don't want to go that way, dude.
Oh my God. I don't know.
If you're going to get ran over, do it on a road. You're going to want to get ran over on the water, dude. It's the worst place. I'm drunk.
Nice. All right. Next question from JP Diddy. He says, Bobby and Emilio, kill, fuck, or marry your past three co-casters. I feel like we answer this one often. I'm out of funny responses for it, so maybe I should turn my response over to Christian here.
Christian, you should do this.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. Bobby, Emilio, okay, kill, marry. So who are the candidates? I don't really know Chad.
Mini,
so
Chad,
I guess I kill... I fuck Chad, so I don't know him. He'd be like a good one night stand kind of thing, right?
Yeah, Minnie, Chad, Ray, and G.
Really? Never met Chad, but you know what he looks like.
Well, I met him at DLG Con, I haven't heard him speak or anything. That was the first time. He was cool when I met him. I would fuck him, probably.
There you go. Yeah.
Yeah. I'd fuck all of you, everyone. Minnie, definitely fuck. Emilio. Yeah, I could get around, although, Bobby, yeah, when you're at your best, what can I say, dude? You're at your best. Chi, yeah, why not? Ray.
Kill.
Yeah, maybe I kill Ray. I don't know. Yeah.
It used to crack me up all the time when we first did the podcast and we weren't on Twitch or anything, and people would always, there was like one picture of us on our website and people would always be amazed at how we looked. And I think Chad was always the biggest surprise. People were always surprised about how Chad looked.
Yeah. Like surprised, disappointed, or surprised like, damn.
I think actually pleasantly surprised, because his voice was, I think a lot of people
screechy,
thought he sounded like, kind of like a nasally nerd or something like that. Although he didn't really have a nasally voice, but, I don't know. But yeah, he looked very different. He kind of looks like, how would you describe Chad's appearance? You know who he reminds me of, and this is a deep cut, but the Prime Minister Pete Nice. Anybody know who that is? No.
What?
Yeah, that's a deep cut. Third base. Yeah, let's get some pictures up in here to help me out.
He doesn't have pictures on his Wikipedia? Cool. He looks I don't know.
That looks like Chad.
Chad-ish, for sure.
The Prime Minister Pete Nice.
Chad looks like someone...
That's the deepest cut. Dude.
That is the deepest. Does anybody listen to hip-hop in 1991? MC Search? Oh, yeah.
I thought he was a prime minister, dude.
No, he's not an actual prime minister. Oh, my God.
All his pictures were black and white, dude. I thought he was like a prime minister of Bulgaria in the 1760s.
No, dude, he was part of a hip-hop trio in the early 90s, late 80s called Third Base.
Oh, I know.
With them. A three. Well, yeah, Third Base. Yeah, they had that song Pop Goes a Weasel. That was a big diss on Vanilla Ice.
Weasel Goes Pop.
The Weasel Goes Pop, yeah. Pop, pop goes the weasel. Nobody cares.
Prime Minister of Bulgaria. We got it.
Nobody cares.
Fuck it. While we're doing deep cuts, after the UFC, we're all drunk and we just keep drinking. And we passed around the remote and we're doing, play your favorite YouTube video or any, just play a YouTube video, right? And we'll just keep the party going. And eventually, this song came up. There's a reggaeton artist that stole, I think, obviously, whatever, inspired by, the Imposter song, right? Imposter, blah, 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 down, a licky boom, boom, down. And that's a Canadian song. And then, so we watched that one. And then after that, I was like, have you guys seen the Jim Carrey's version of this on In Living Color? And then we played that. If you watch those two back and back, back to back, and don't laugh, you're a goddamn robot. And then we started just watching all of Jim Carrey's shit on In Living Color. It's fucking gold, dude. It's fucking gold.
It was wild, dude.
It was like Bitcoin when it was like $3, dude.
Oh, man.
You know, nobody knew what it was going to be. And then...
Yeah. Well, shit, dude. If you go back and watch those old Ace Ventura movies... He was so, oh my God, he was so all over the place. So much physical comedy. And as a kid, you watch that and you're just kind of like, yeah, I like all the fast movements, it kind of mesmerizes you. Yeah. But as an adult, you're like, oh my God, dude, how did he not like throw his back out?
Oh, he's almost like a contortionist. He can do crazy things with his body.
Next question from Dofo. In 2 weeks, I'll be driving across country from New Hampshire to California. What podcast do you recommend to help pass the time? I've already listened to all the DLG podcasts.
We would have answered if you hadn't put that last line in there.
That's a lot of podcasts, dude. We've been doing this 8 years and we've only missed a week once. That's a lot of podcasts. So congrats on that. You have really listened to us develop as human beings too. Wow. Yeah.
Life changes.
Yep. Other podcasts. You know what's crazy? I realized
Bobby used to be a lady.
I don't listen to any video game podcasts anymore. Is that weird?
No.
I don't either.
This is the best one. I mean, it's one of the better ones.
I used to listen to the PC Gamer podcast, Idle Thumbs. That's not around anymore. PC Gamer Pod. I don't even think
you guys
that's around.
Might think this is weird. I just got back into listening to us, and I really enjoy it, man. I really like the movie one, and
Our movie one's great.
Yeah, I'm really getting into the movie one. I'm not just a fucking. I'm really enjoying it.
Yeah, no, that's because I listen back to the movie one, and I'm like proud of it. Like I want to share it with people
because you edited it, dude.
Oh yeah, that helps.
You're gonna wear a pop shirt. You're not gonna wear a fucking DLG shirt. I'm fucking sick of
the shit, truth comes
buddy.
Out.
Well,
dude.
Maybe our new shirt with us on it coming out. Hint, hint. But I listened to a lot of movie podcasts. I realized, like when I actually flipped open my app and looked at the podcasts I do listen to, a lot of movie podcasts, almost all movie podcasts. So I don't know, man, if you're into movies, then I got some that I could recommend. But if you're looking for gaming, then I don't know what's really good out there.
No. So if you're on a long trip, right? The best podcast I've ever heard ever is Wrath of the Khans, by Dan Carlin. That's a history podcast. I'm not into history, but his take on the cons is entertaining to say the least. I listened to all fucking 24 hours of it, and you won't even know that you're on a road trip. I just started listening to D&D Daddies or D&D Dads, something like that. It's four dads that pretend to be four dads that get sucked into the nether or the Forgotten Realms. So it's like they're playing characters of themselves in. Anyway, it's really good. I like that. And then Adventure Zone. That's another D&D play podcast that blew up. That one's huge. There's a graphic novel about it. I've talked about it too. That one's great. The first episode should be, just so you know which one you're listening to, There Be Gerblins 1.5. That's the one that you want. Hmm.
If you're going on that long of a road trip, might I suggest an audio book, actually? And I actually do have some good gaming ones to suggest in that category. Masters of Doom, I think, is just like an essential read for anybody. And it really pertains to id Software, John Carmack, John Romero. But it really is the birth of PC gaming, of modern PC gaming, the first-person shooter, and just how everything kind of took off from there. That is a great read, and it's great in audiobook format. And then the other one that I would recommend, well, there's two more. The one whose title I always forget, it's by, it's like something zero, Singularity Zero, or something to that effect. But that is about the guy who had been working in gaming all his life. He was in, he worked on like BioShock 1 and 2. He was the writer Ken Levine. He was the writer for, what's the game where we always talk about it. Like 2013, bit like Heart of Darkness ripoff, Apocalypse Now. Oh my God. The guy's name is Will something. I'll think of it in a moment. But the other book I would recommend is the one by that famous gaming journalist who talks about like some of the development of certain games, and he's working on a new one. So what is that one? Pixels?
Jason Schreier?
Yeah. Jason Schreier. What's his book called? His first one. Well, the second one's not out yet.
Blood, Sweat, and Pixels, something long. Yeah,
there's always a super long subtitle, which they need to stop doing, man. They need to stop with the super long subtitles in these books. But yeah, Jason Schreier, Blood, Sweat, and Pixels. That's a great one. And then the other one, maybe I have it on Audible. I don't know. Sniper, what are your suggestions?
Yeah, I listen to a lot of podcasts because work from home, and it's always nice to have something in the background. So before the movie podcast that we started, I did research on other podcasts. No one asked me to do it. I just kind of wanted to see what else was out there. And the Linus Tech Tip people have a podcast called Carpool Critics. It's also a movie podcast, but they just focus in on one movie and they go like really deep. So if you want a really deep analysis of like beloved films,
movies,
that's a really great one.
And then whatever he's talking about.
What's that?
You start with movies on the DL, and then you move on.
You know, the shame about movies on the DL, though, is like we put out a 45-minute episode every 2 weeks. It's just that that's not going to last you too long on a road trip across country.
Yeah, that's why we didn't plan. Yeah,
And this one, like, I kind of stop some of these before they're over, and I kind of pick the ones, like, my favorite movies to get, like, the behind the scenes on them. So, and they have a bunch of episodes, so scroll past them. They're really long, about 2 hours long. And I don't know. I just hate Dan Carlin. I mean, I like that he introduced a lot of people to history, but the podcast is like pop culture history channel level of history. If you want to go a little bit deeper, I'd recommend Tides of History by Patrick Wyman. He's a really cool historian. And then Revolutions by Mike Duncan goes through all the revolutions in the history of our planet. And like explains them. Okay, what happened day one? What happened day two? What happened? Like goes really in depth into why that happened, and then how it kind of has shaped our modern world.
I'm just drunk. I'm drunk right now. But did you just one up me, dude? Was that what that was? Was that one up and shit?
No. It's well, Dan Carlin. I don't know. I wasn't trying to, but it depends what people want. Because Dan Carlin is really fun to listen to and it's entertaining. And if you go into it with that mindset, then I think that's awesome. But yeah, if you go into it with wanting to learn something, I think the way he presents things isn't really that accurate sometimes.
It's also not formatted or structured like a typical podcast. When I went and tried to listen to that, I was very confused. It's like, okay, when, like, first of all, where's the first episode and why is it it's 8 hours long?
It's because he tries to put most of his stuff behind the $1 paywall.
Okay.
So $1 per episode.
Yeah, it's very confusing, and then there's a paywall. I wasn't a fan of that. I remembered the book, though. Rather, I looked it up. Significant Zero. Do you want the super long subtitle?
Sure.
Yeah.
Heroes, Villains, and the Fight for Art and Soul in Video Games. Fuck.
Wow,
you.
Dude.
And this is like a common theme with books just lately. There's always like the short title and then the super long title. But yeah, that's a good one. And it's written by Walt Williams. So he was the writer for Spec Ops: The Line. And he just talks about his history in working in the gaming industry. And it's really interesting to see his perspective because he's worked in gaming like his whole life. And as somebody who's played games their whole life, it's really interesting to see the other side of the coin. Yeah. What's really strange about this book, Significant Zero, is he ends it kind of on a high note. Like, I've been through all this and now I'm off to the big leagues to write for Battlefront 2, you know, like,
oh, da, 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 da.
And then we all know how that went.
Spoiler alert.
I mean, not a criticism of his writing, but you know, the single player was just not a highlight of that game. And it had that whole fiasco with the loot boxes and pay to win system. So it's just kind of funny that he ended the book like that.
Tainted this poor man. One other podcast before I leave that is really awesome. Do you guys know Other People's Lives? I don't know how famous this is. Is it famous? You've heard of it?
No.
Okay. So I don't even know if it's fake, but every episode they interview someone who just tells whatever fucked up story. So the latest one is My Adult Breastfeeding Fetish. Absolutely disgusting. It's about a girl who has a breastfeeding fetish. But then there's also like, I was present at Ground Zero 9/11 or a stalker broke into my home or my dad killed my mom in front of me. And people just tell kind of like an extreme story or aspect about them. And it's, I don't know. It's super interesting. If it's real,
that stuff is always super interesting, but I don't know. I don't like exposing myself to too much of that. It's kind of like the true crime stuff. My girlfriend watches way too much of that stuff. And after a while, it just kind of warps your brain and you get scared to leave the house and you get paranoid and not trustful of your fellow man.
But I wouldn't be so worried about this stuff. This stuff is more like a microscope over like a certain culture that you didn't even know existed. Like my sexual attraction to clowns. She's talking about, I really like clowns and I'm not the only one. I found a community of other
you
people
too?
Who really like clowns. What's that?
You too?
YouTube, me?
Like, I have it all. Never mind, dude.
Okay.
Gosh. Yes, and. Dude. Yes, and.
Yeah. As you know, Emilio used to be a juggalo. Mm-hmm. Next question.
A juggling juggler.
Wait, is this serious?
No, man.
Okay. Sorry. I just had to know.
Never do improv.
Wait, what?
I need a location and a name. John at the Donut Factory. Nope.
Why? Who owns the donut factory?
Well, this is really an interesting donut factory. What donut factory? I don't see a donut factory. We're on a stage and there's people watching. What are you talking about? A donut factory?
What were the second quarter earnings? I don't understand.
Okay, the really bad thing is I did used to be a theater and I did used to do improv, but maybe that's why I don't do it anymore. Maybe I suck. good stuff.
All right. Next question from Anime Lover. What is the most expensive piece of hardware you've had to replace because you raged? I broke the wheel in my mouse today because my code wasn't compiling.
I've never been a ragey dude. I don't even know if I've ever like slammed my fist down on my
head. Yeah, I've never been a controller thrower.
Yeah, but speaking of controller throwers, dude, there was a while where my friend and I would bring our... Man, what was the Nintendo system that had three ways that you could hold it? That three-pronged one. You know what I'm talking about? It was 64, I think.
Oh, okay, yeah. The controller holders with the three prongs.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And so he would bring that in, and we would play Mario Kart on lunch break. And we try to get our breaks and our lunch all together so we could play for like 40 minutes, you know? And it was great. But he could not lose, man. He was just one of these like rage quitter kind of guys. And he's like, I'm fucking sick of losing or whatever. And he swung his controller around his head like a lasso and smashed it down on the ground as our manager was coming in to the break room. And he's like, fuck it, I'll throw his name out there. He's like, Jeremy, what is wrong with you? He's like, what just happened?
Well, you're throwing his first name out there. I think that's safe.
Everybody knows who Jeremy is.
Yeah, you probably want to say his last name too, dude.
We don't need his last
name. Wait, what are you talking about? How could anybody possibly know who... See how that doesn't play, Christian?
What? Do we know who Jeremy is or not? Tell me.
Never mind.
Enough improv lessons.
Okay, yeah.
Okay, so... Jeremy smashed the controller, the manager.
Jeremy smashed the controller, yeah. Yeah, and the manager came in and was like shocked about his behavior.
That is a little awkward. I have played with people.
Jeremy.
He's a good buddy of mine. He lives in...
Now he is the manager. yeah, let's get a Jeremy interview here. Jeremy calling. I've definitely played with people who have been like that. You know, my buddy, Dr. Mario, world champ 2019. That dude used to get angry. Oh, yeah.
Which is why he's the world champ.
That's why, yeah. That's how you don't become the world champ without breaking some controllers.
Is his name Jeremy, too?
No.
Oh, I thought we were going to do a Jeremy pivot.
Pivoting Jeremy's.
Jeremy Piven. I don't know. It was a stretch. Sometimes you miss.
I don't know any Jeremys, and I've never broken a piece of equipment, so sorry, Anime Lover. Bad question.
Might be.
You need some more hostile. You need to ask that to more hostile gamers.
That's true.
I'm trying to think if I've ever.
I've never even lifted my mouse and like slammed it down. I know that that's something people do.
Yeah. I've never even really rage quit. Yeah, I don't know.
I've yelled at the screen on Rocket League one time, and then I was like, what am I becoming? Uninstalled the game.
There you go.
It's just, if a game makes you that angry, like, I don't know. I'm not going to become a pro Rocket League player. I don't need to be angry in my life when I play games.
It used to drive me crazy when I played Heroes of the Storm, when people would get really upset at the game. I'm just, because it, in every case, I'm like, dude, it's not the game. It's you. I don't know. This is like a game. It's created with like a strict rule set and functions in a certain way. And then like you fail to do what you need to do. And yet you're somehow upset at the inanimate object that like, I'm never really understood that.
Really?
Were they upset at the... There's rocks in the world. It's just like, you're just, they're everywhere.
Most of the time, in those, like, people rage at their teammates. I haven't run into too many people raging at. Although
they do that a lot, but in these particular cases, it was like, "Oh, I totally did that, and the game didn't recognize it." I'm like, oh,
right. "That's Chad right there."
Yeah, that's a Chad line.
Oh, dude, so you can just, if you play Street Fighter, if anybody out there in some arcade happens to go up against Chad, just block and watch him try to do dragon uppercuts and fail miserably all the time, and just punish every time he tries to do one, and you'll win every time. I was doing a dragon. Sure you were.
I wonder if Chad has ever broken anything.
Oh man,
yeah, that's a likely one.
Maybe I don't want to fuck that guy. That doesn't sound very cash money.
It's a real turnoff. Yeah.
So okay. If anyone runs into the Prime Minister of Bulgaria, at a watch out.
I never finished mine. I guess I'd kill Ray. I'd fuck Chi, and I'd marry Chad. He's like my soulmate.
Okay. Creepy. All right. Last question from Warconius here. Of the people in this room, who do you want to trade lives with and why?
None of you.
I find Bobby's infinite free time so appealing.
That is a draw. I mean, I do fill it up.
You fill it up with, like,
yeah,
self. You're filling it up.
Yeah, I'm yourself. Filling up it. Yeah, yeah. Through obligations I've created.
I feel like it's the greatest thing that could happen to a person. Coming from the other side.
I think
what would you fill it up with, Amelia?
This by, you know, gaming, porn.
Yeah.
Fucking gotcha. Drugs. Although, you know, I'm to that point where, like, if I get like 10 minutes, I'm like shots and fucking jacking off and fucking as much as like craziness as I could put in that 10 minutes. If I could stretch that out over like a week, then yeah, I don't think I would be as crazy. But yeah, free time. So, Bobby, personal, I mean, like, only temporarily, because I couldn't do it long term. Because
I
want my big dick back. Hey,
yikes! I don't know if you could handle my lifestyle, though. Dude. Like, I think a lot of people would have trouble. I'm not saying like you couldn't handle this. I'm just saying
literally what you said. You fuck.
I don't think people could really manage the upkeep that I do.
Well, I'd let all that shit go.
I mean, it's a package deal, dude. It's either all or nothing.
All the stuff that you brought upon yourself, I would just let go. I would go to work, come home, and game and stuff.
Yeah.
Oh, your place would be a mess, dude. It would be a mess.
Yeah, probably. It would probably just be filled with all sorts of trinkets and bric-a-brac. Yeah, I don't know. But I feel like for most people, once they reach a certain age, like, they don't really want to trade lives with anybody. When you're young, I feel like you're constantly like, I want to be like this famous person or that person. You know, you're very envious. But I think once you're old enough, you've kind of created the life that you want.
Yeah, you've kind of shaped it as you went. You made the decisions. You zig when you want to zig and zag when you want to zag.
Yeah.
Well, isn't the stereotypical like midlife crisis someone who's made a life that they don't want? I mean, you would imagine that person to be slightly envious of whatever other people's situation.
Yeah, but then, I mean, if you're old enough, you can change it, man. You can get a divorce or quit your job or, you know, do whatever you want to do, maybe a career change. But
I was almost there a couple of weeks ago. Like, I thought I was going to get kicked out of the house, and it was terrifying. I was like, I'm going to change everything? That's so scary. Sometimes it's bad for the better, but yeah, it was scary.
Damn, dude. Change your whole life? You mean instead of not coming to my wedding, you would have like done the opposite?
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, that's what you would have filled your time with. That's okay. I got you.
Is Canada even going to let us in?
Yeah, they should. Well, not if they knew you, but if they don't, it'd be good.
I don't know, man. I may get there and I might see Kevin O'Leary at the border and it could get weird.
Dude, run. You don't know what's going to come out of your mouth. If he has a jet boat, get the fuck out.
So if you made it this far in the podcast, you are a true fan. Congratulations. You've leveled up. Christian, can you bring up some of the NSFW questions that we have?
Yeah, I don't think I can bring them up on the screen, but I'll copy and paste them and you can read. Has any of them stood out to you as like, I don't know.
No, it's just kind of like, I don't know. You read them or whatever.
A lot of sexual stuff seems to be
what the fuck else would be NSFW, dude?
I don't know.
There's a couple of drug related ones in there.
Okay. Well, yeah, I think I don't know.
Crime. If you went camping and woke up with cum in your butt, would you tell anyone? That's one of my favorites and a lot of people's favorite.
Yeah, I don't know how to go about that one. So we should explain what this is.
Well, that was
though.
A joke.
Yeah. Yeah.
So we should explain what this is. We are going to be doing an AMA for our patrons only. So if you are one of our patrons, you will have access to this. Nick is going to be here live in person. So you can direct some of these questions at him if you'd like as well. But these are kind of just for all of us. And I don't think we're going to have time to answer every single one of them. So we'll go through, we'll pick the best ones, and then we'll have a good time answering those. A lot of the answers to this are probably not going to be things that I want out there available to everybody. So this is why it is locked behind the patron gate here.
Is there anything off limits to any of you? Not in like a, you know,
well,
holier than
thing.
That way, but just something you just really don't want to talk about?
I mean, maybe, but here's the thing. You can ask whatever you want, but we may or may not answer it. Or, you know, maybe one of us will. So feel free to ask whatever you want.
Because we're used to doing what? Like hour and a half podcast. If we go line by line, we'd be done in like, well, never mind. Because we go off on tangents.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
It's going to be a lot of tangents here, too.
Yeah.
It's going to be a
and
lot
you
of
you and Nick are
going to
be super drunk, right?
By this time, yeah. Because we're going to start drinking when we do the movies on DL. Then we have Then we have the whole PC gaming podcast. And then, yeah.
All right, well, let's wrap this up. What is everyone playing next week? I'm actually back to work, like, at work next week. No more remote, so.
Oh, even on Monday? Like, starting Monday?
Mm-hmm, starting tomorrow.
You're staggered from me, though. I am going to play more Repentance with Sam. I'm going to finish Borderlands, because, like, literally, I'm right there. And probably pick up her... Zero Dawn?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Oh, you got a good week planned out. I don't know what I'm going to get into. I'm going to try to stay away from Jurassic World because that'll just eat up whatever little time I have.
Dude, seriously, you painted such a picture. I'm like, fuck.
It's a great game. Yeah, it's a good time, man. And Jurassic Park, watch that movie, dude. That is so good.
Well.
Did you put it on Letterboxd? Five out of five?
Yeah, 5 out of 5 stars.
How many of the movies get that coveted title?
Out of like the 400 movies I've logged on Letterboxd, I have four or five five-star movies.
It's pretty good.
Yeah, it's not bad.
It's an exclusive club, man.
Yeah, I'm not just handing out the 5 stars, dude. That's a perfect movie. Yeah. You did everything right, 100%. Like that's not just giving those out.
I feel like guys used to throw out 10 way too much on girls. Like, oh, she's a 10. She has 10. You're mm-hmm. saying that she's physically perfect, dude. There's like 3 of them for the, maybe 4 of them.
I don't know, man. I'm super uncomfortable as a guy in 2021 commenting on women's bodies with numbers.
Oh, not me.
I don't know if I want that out there. Yep. All right. Christian, what are you playing next week?
Picking up Jurassic World. Definitely. Oh, I love sim games and I didn't want something so logistically heavy, and you painted a good picture. I might even watch one of those movies.
Have
I don't
you
know, the
seen
dinosaur
Jurassic
movies,
Park?
But
you've not seen a lot of movies.
Yeah, I haven't seen a lot of movies. Jurassic Park, I haven't seen. Is it too old to go back? Like, how much of the perfect score is kind of where you were when you first saw it? Or is it still
I think
really
you could
good?
Totally watch it and still enjoy it, like just as a newcomer. And I'd be interested to see what you think, considering you've never seen it. That's
my brain
insane.
Hurts. Hold on. He's never seen Jurassic Park? Is that what it's
yeah, I'm right here, dude. I've never seen it.
Is that what he's saying?
Say it to my face, fucker. No, yeah, I haven't seen it. Yeah.
What are you actually talking about?
I just started watching movies like 2 or 3 years ago. I'm trying to catch up, man. But like,
it's like I found a monkey in the jungle, dude, that spoke English. What are you talking about?
Yes. It was just never really a thing. I don't know. We used to have
and work your way down, dude. Yeah, definitely start with the 5 stars, dude.
Yeah, Jurassic Park, well, dude. That's a great movie.
I don't know where to start. Like, some of the old movies I've watched, and I'm like, okay. I mean, I think this was probably good for its time, but I'm watching it now, and no, I don't really, dude. I don't know.
I think 90% of old shit doesn't hold up, but Bobby's on the other side.
Well, it kind of depends on where you're at with watching movies, too. Like, there's a lot of movies that I really enjoy, but I wouldn't recommend them. I always call them film nerd movies. Like, if you're really into film, you'll get it. You'll enjoy it. But then there's movies that I watch, and I'm like, okay, this will play to just about anybody, and this is really good. And I think Jurassic Park is one of those movies. I think that movie works with any age group, anybody, people who just started watching movies 3 years ago. Like, I think it's going to work.
My mind's blown right now, dude.
Well, I'm glad to have been here when your mind has been blown. That's an honor. I'll watch it, and I'll see if it's great, or if I like it. I'm sure it's great, but we'll see if I enjoy it.
All right. Is that a show?
I guess so, man. What the fuck is happening? Speaking for Christian, not Nick. Bobby, Jurassic ticket. Tickets? Jurassic tits, everybody.
Dude, I'm still laughing about what was their taxes in the third quarter. That was fucking hilarious.
We only have 3 favorite films up on this. Got one more slot.